grace is amazing. Your love is never ending. And I want to take this moment to say, I love you, to say, I need you, to say, forever be in my life. Your grace is amazing. Your grace is amazing. Your love is never ending. And I want to take this moment to say, I love you, to say, I need you, to say, forever be in my life. Step I take with you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be? Na 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 na. Every move I make to you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take with you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be? Na 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 na. Na-na-na-na-na-na. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be? Na 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 na. When we used to do this song in youth, I'd make him hold that note like maybe four times. And I was always the last man standing.
Thank you. Thank
a lot
you.
Of hot air.
Thank you, Brooklyn, for helping with the...
Sure. Okay, let's do it again. Okay, we're going to do Waves of Mercy and then do the waves like Miss Jody was doing and whatever. I can't see what she's doing over there. But do the motions. But do the part with me, if you would. Jeff, I know you could do it. A lot of hot air right there. Okay, here we go. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be? Na 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 na. All right, are we awake now? Good. He's worthy of our voices singing to him. You know that? Amen. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all.
You are me.
know that you are here.
Lord, we do know you're here. We thank you, God, that your Spirit is present and among us. Lord, that we have the freedom to praise your name and to worship your name as the body of Christ. And we commit this to you today, Jesus. We commit this praise and this worship under you, Lord God. Fill this place in Jesus' name.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, and I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. We'll rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. I hear the cry of longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. No more pain, I will rise.
Let's join together. And I love you, Lord, and I lift my you, and we worship you, and we lift our voices to you this morning, Father God. Lord, I pray that you are pleased with what you hear today, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your blessings and your goodness and your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you that you renew us every day. Lord, that you would help us moment by moment to be who you want us to be, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for wiping us clean, making us whole, cleansing our very lives, Father God. Be glorified today, Lord. Be glorified in your church. Be glorified in your people. Lord, be glorified today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sue White has asked that we anoint her and pray with her this morning. So I'm going to walk back to her and pray with her. Just continue to worship this morning and pray as we lift her up before the Lord.
The peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more. so many angels see. Worthy is the Lamb, and I hear the cry of every longing heart. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy is the Lamb.
Again, I do pray that you are pleased with the worship this morning that we have brought before you. God, I pray that it's the sweet-smelling aroma that you desire. Lord, I know there are many others that need a touch from you this morning, and Lord, I lift them up to you. I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would minister to their hearts and lives. I pray that you would touch them physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. God, would you touch lives today in the name of Jesus? God, as only you can, Lord, would you speak to people and encourage people, bring healing and wholeness, Father God. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your blessings. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we continue our walk through the Beatitudes today, I must confess that we have now arrived at one that I very much struggle with. Not that I have in any way mastered the others, I don't mean to give that illusion. I've not reached some higher level or plane with any of those that we have talked about either, but this one that we're going to deal with today really challenges me. And I don't mean that just in the weeks we've been talking about the Beatitudes. It's been a struggle of mine for a very, very long time. It's one of those areas that I have to continuously work on, which to some extent might be a surprise to some people, because most wouldn't think that a pastor would have to deal with this particular issue, that it wouldn't be such a struggle in their life. But it is, and I do. And if you know me well, you will agree that it's a struggle in my life. I often confess that this is an issue I have to deal with. Most of the time it's jokingly, but I am aware of my shortcoming and my need to mature in this particular area. When it comes to this beatitude, this thought, there are a couple of different aspects to this whole issue. One I struggle with more than the other, but I, without question, struggle with them both. Let's read through our text this morning and explore the pastor's weakness a little bit today. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you've been keeping up with us as we've gone through this section of Scripture, this introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, you will know exactly which beatitude I struggle with now. Mind you, it's not the second part that's a problem. In fact, I'm very grateful for the blessing or the second part of this. It's the first portion that is my Achilles heel, as they like to say. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is my issue. Mercy is one of my issues, one of my weaknesses. Just a few moments ago, I said there's two aspects to this whole idea of mercy. So let's take a look at them. If you define mercy, if you look at what it means, you will see something to the effect of this. It's a compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. The first aspect or the first part of mercy is compassion, having sympathy or empathy, being sad for someone, understanding someone else's hurt or feeling their pain, you might say. And yeah, that is one of my struggles. I am typically the guy who will look at somebody's situation and say to them, well, if you didn't do X, you wouldn't be dealing with Y. I don't offer them comfort. I don't look to pat them on the back. I'm the guy who typically will bring about some sort of correction. People have learned not to come to me if they are throwing a pity party, as I will probably not show up. If our children ever got hurt, mom was always the first stop, which is not abnormal. That's pretty typical. But they knew how I was going to respond. They knew what it would be that I would say. I would explain to them the poor choice that they made and the consequence that they're dealing with for the poor choice that they made. When it came to injury with my kids, there's an old saying, rub some dirt on it, you'll be just fine. Now you can ask any of my kids today, and I guarantee you they will tell you they never ever want to hear that saying again. Truth be told, Micah needed stitches at some points, and I've said, just rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine. Mercy, mercy in the sense of compassion or sympathy is just not my strong suit. Some of us over the years have listened to or heard or been a part of teachings on spiritual gifts, more specifically motivational gifts. I've been a part of those classes, I've taught those classes a few times, I've gone through the studies. At the beginning of each of those, you typically take a test. And the test is designed to help you understand a little bit better your giftings, the things that the Lord has given you that are a part of your life. Well, as many times as I've taken that test over the years, my top two or three gifts always come back the same. You know, they might change position a little bit, but those top two or three pretty much always remain my top two or three. It's my lowest scoring category that never ever changes. And yes, if you're familiar with that test, you've guessed it by now, mercy is that lowest scoring category. Those tests are set up and designed that you can get 100 points in any one of the categories. And typically out of that possible score of 100, I literally wind up with 1 or 0. It's certainly well under 10 any time I have ever taken that test. Let's talk a little bit more about this second part of mercy. Because while the first part is important, it's the second aspect that concerns me a little bit more. The second aspect is all about forgiveness. So not that the first side of mercy is unimportant, but it's this side of mercy that is far more critical. This is the aspect of God's love that caused him to help his creation, that caused him to save his creation. While grace is what brings the forgiveness to the guilty, mercy is what caused one to care about someone to begin with. God sees our sins. God knows our guilt. And yet he still had mercy on each and every one of us. He still has mercy for every human being ever born. In his power, he could have easily said, "I'm done. You know what? I forget it. It ain't worth it. I'm done." And honestly, he'd have been justified to do so. In his sovereignty and his wisdom, it would have been completely justifiable. But that's not what God did. Because of his love, because of his mercy for you and I, he gave his only son that we might be saved. That's mercy. That's the mercy we're supposed to obtain. We're supposed to move towards. He allowed mercy to the table. And he then was allowed to serve up that grace that was needed. Mercy was allowing the grace to be there. Grace is what gives us the forgiveness that we have, the salvation that we have today. God has never or will never say, "It's too much. It's too great. Your sin is too big. Your circumstances are, your problem is beyond what I can deal with." God will never, ever say that. He will always have mercy on us. He will always forgive us. It's his mercy that took one look at you and I and said, "I love you. I forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll make you whole." Even though we didn't deserve it, even though he knows we're going to mess up again and again and again and again, he has such mercy for us. He says, "I forgive you. I'll cleanse you and make you whole." I want to share a little story with you this morning. I came across this week as I was preparing and getting things ready. It's a true story about a young man from Colombia. But I want to share it with you because it just, to me, fills in this whole concept of mercy beautifully. I want you to meet Didier from Colombia. When he was only 11 years old, Didier witnessed the killing of his mother, who was a street vendor. The other day, he revisited the spot where his mother was shot 38 times. Didier was standing next to his mom when this happened. As a reaction to his mom's killing, Didier went down a self-destructive path. He embraced a life of drugs and alcohol and crime for a period of time. In drugs and alcohol, I looked for the love that was taken away from me with the assassination of my mother, he told me at some point. In those years, Didier was also thinking about retaliation and vengeance. People in the neighborhood where he lived told him who the killer of his mom was. He was not living far from where Didier lived at the time. Planning his vengeance, Didier started collecting guns and even had a couple of grenades in his room. At night, he would cry and think of how he would kill his mother's assassin, but he never found the courage to do so. Through a lot of things, the opportunity for change arrived when a friend who belonged to a Christian church approached Didier. He was skeptical. He was dismissive at first, but eventually he accepted the words and the invitation of his friend. He was realizing that the hatred he was harboring in his heart was consuming his own soul and was killing him. He found the strength and the courage along the line to forgive the man who killed his mom. One day Didier saw the man, and others said, "That's him sitting there on the curb." So Didier joined him. He went over, he sat down next to him, and he asked him, "Why did you kill my mom?" The man immediately broke down sobbing. Those tears were, for Didier, the confirmation that this man was indeed the one who had shot his mom. Sometime later, Didier ran into the man again, and he went up to him and he told him, "I don't know why you killed my mom, but I forgive you." Didier embraced the man, and the guy once again broke down sobbing. It's only recently that Didier discovered that it was indeed someone else who had killed his mother. He learned it from a friend who inquired if Didier had indeed forgiven his mother's assassin. He wanted to be assured of this forgiveness. Then Didier's friend confessed to him, "It was my brother who killed your mom." Since then, Didier has been trying to find the whereabouts of the real killer. Why? Because he learned that that killer is facing other troubles. And he said, "I want to give him my forgiveness and try to help him through his other troubles." For the past few years, Didier has been helping other youth who are facing troubles and problems. In a couple of months, he will be studying social work at a university. He has become an authentic and transformational leader in his area, a source of hope and wisdom for many. If I was able to change and forgive, then others can do so as well, Didier said. What an incredible testimony. What an incredible story. Both aspects of mercy are displayed clearly here in Didier's story. He had so much compassion for someone that it drove him to pursue social work. He had the heart's desire to then help others who were facing perhaps the same or worse battles than he was. But it also gave him the ability to forgive. And I want us to think about that for just a moment this morning. See, when he discovered the true identity of his mother's killer, Didier had a couple of choices to make in this whole situation. I mean, forgiving the man who was responsible was just one of the choices he had to make. There was so much more that he had to decide. For example, beside forgiving him, Didier still could have gone to the authorities and said, I have new information. I have new evidence. And I think this killer needs to be brought to justice. This man who took my mom's life should pay for his crime, should he not? There's no indication that Didier ever did that or has any intention of doing that. Instead, he forgave and he forgot. He said, instead, I want to help. I don't want to punish. I don't want to hold this against him. I want to help him get out of the trouble that he's in. There's another side of this too. See, after all those years of hatred and vengeance and even planning to kill this other person who killed his mother, Didier walked away not only saying, I forgive you and showing mercy, but he received mercy as well. Think about the story that I shared about him. Drugs, alcohol, murder, all the things that he was planning, all the hatred and bitterness that was built up in him, bottled up for years and years, from the time he was 11 years old. Now he was set free. He no longer dealt with those things in his life. All of that was gone, and mercy was overflowing in its place. Where vengeance and hatred and bitterness once stood, mercy now bubbled over and was allowed to shine through his life. I would love to say I could make the same decision that Didier made in his life, but my lack of mercy concerns me. My weakness in that area might cause me trouble when it comes to overcoming that. I know what Christ has done for me. I know how he has forgiven me. I know how he has washed me clean. I know how he continues to pick me up day after day after day. And I certainly have absolutely no desire for other people to suffer. But I wonder sometimes if I don't kick the dust off my feet and move on a little too soon. If I don't give up without maybe giving it one more try, without holding on just a little longer. There's another verse of Scripture that ties in very well with this, and people have struggled with this same Scripture over the years. In reality, it's pretty similar to the Beatitude. See, it's the next chapter of the Sermon on the Mount that we read verses 14 and 15 of Matthew 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, that's one of those tough scriptures we just want to like scribble out, tear it out, throw it away, get rid of it. We don't want to deal with that text. Forgiveness, folks, is unbelievably important in our Christian lives. This particular beatitude that we are reading is, in modern day jargon, kind of a pay it forward type of an attitude. Give what you have received so that others may see God in you by doing the same to others. You know, I said it earlier, God doesn't have to forgive me for my sins. He chooses to forgive me. I have that same choice to make when it comes to other people in my life. When it comes to having mercy, both compassion, sympathy, forgiveness, all aspects of it. I have a choice to make. I can choose to be merciful, or I can choose to hold a grudge. I can choose to be stubborn. I can choose to tell them why they are wrong instead of giving them a hug and holding them close. There's a choice to be made. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know, we in America today really need to work on this one. Dare I say, we in the church today really need to work on this one. Far too many people in the church body do not display the mercy that we are called to display. And the worst part of that is we don't even recognize that we're not displaying it. Forgiveness is always at the top of the list when it pertains to us. We want to be forgiven. Whether it's by people, whether it's by God, we want to be forgiven. But we struggle something fierce when it comes to forgiving others, when it comes to having mercy and compassion and sympathy for others. You know, I have to constantly ask myself, is my attitude like God, or is my attitude more like Didier's? I may not turn to drugs or alcohol. I may not plan my revenge. I may not go through all of that in my life. But where is my heart? What is my attitude in this? How am I reflecting my Savior? Am I being merciful as I've been shown such incredible mercy? And remember, God looks on the inside. So don't think you have pulled the wool over everybody's eyes by doing something nice for somebody. Where is your heart? Because it's the attitude of the heart that God looks at. Being merciful is more, way more than painting a smile on our face, patting someone on the back and saying it'll all be okay. Being merciful is tracking down our mother's killer, so to speak, and giving them a great big hug, telling them and truly meaning, I forgive you. Let me help you. Let me carry you through. Let me do what I can to help you get out of this rut that you're in. You know, if we've not picked up on it today, mercy is the part of God's love that caused Him to send His Son for our sake. It's the whole kind of crux of it, folks. His mercy for us is what sent Jesus to this earth to die in our place, that we might be forgiven and washed clean. And if we've been a believer for any amount of time, or if we've heard the word at all, we know that someday every one of us is going to stand before God, and we are going to be held accountable for the lives that we have lived. The mercy that we have or have not shown. Let me remind you of what James wrote in regards to all of this. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Did you catch that warning there? Did you get that middle part? Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Ouch. We were actually just talking before service this morning. Totally different kind of set of parameters, but it honestly, this kind of fits here. You know, we were having a conversation about sometimes when people are in the process of dying, it takes a while, and you know, maybe that's God's gift that they can work some things out before they actually are called home. And if that's the case, I said, I'm going to have a long and miserable death process. I've got a lot of stuff to work out. I got a lot of stuff to figure out when it comes to this idea of mercy. Because I've been shown a lot of mercy. I've given very little. I know in my life, it's an area I have to work on continuously. Once again, look at the Beatitudes this morning and understand that we are broken people, and we should mourn that broken condition of our lives. We need to live in humility. We need to know our position in Christ. We need to hunger for His teaching, for His direction, for His words. And we need to give mercy as we have so incredibly received His mercy. Lord, thank You for the blessings You've poured out on us. Thank You, Lord, for the mercy You have given, starting with me. Lord, I don't deserve it in any way, shape, or form, and let You have poured it out on me day after day, time after time. God, help me, help us to be more merciful people. Lord, in every aspect of the word, help us to love others, to encourage others, to strengthen others, to build others up, Lord, to be just a vessel of forgiveness to others. God, help us to be merciful, that we might be shown the most incredible mercy ever that day that we stand before You in judgment. Lord, thank You for Your word today. Continue to teach us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are a mold. You are forever Lord of the ages. Forever.